for Thessalonians, or 1 Timothy, excuse me, 1 Timothy. And we'll look at 1 Timothy. We're talking about things that we believe, and a lot of people don't know what they believe, why they believe it. And I know whom I believe, and I know that he's coming back. Amen. I think it was Job said, I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I know the Lord's coming back. I was just thinking about coming up the road this morning, thinking about, you know, being lost when I was lost and on my way to hell, and all the trouble that our family went through, and the drinking and the drugging and all that stuff. And man, I think about, you know, jail, always in and out of jail, and then end up in prison. I was just telling a lady, where was it? I was talking to somebody and gave a testimony to him. I was talking to a lady on the phone, and I invited her to church, and she was telling me about how she went through an abusive relationship, and her husband beat her and all this stuff. And I invited her to church. I said, come on out. And she said, well, the folks at church, they don't understand what I, and so I started telling her where I came from. I started telling about the gangs and the prison, and my brother got life in prison, and my brother killed. I started telling her. She goes, wow. She said, man, I haven't touched the hem of the garment when it comes to you. And I said, yeah, I was in a mess. God straightened out my mess. And if you're in a mess, God can straighten out your mess. And he did for me. He straightened out the mess that my wife and I just rejoiced together, knowing that God's done so much. And see what it is. God didn't wave a magic wand over us and say that was, you know, everything's going to be perfect now. And it hasn't been perfect, but he didn't wave a magic wand. What he did, what we did was we were trying to be obedient to him. And when you try to be obedient to the Lord and you try to honor him, God will bless you. He'll bless you. It's a step-by-step process. They always talk about the 12-step program in Alcoholics Anonymous and NA and all that stuff. The 12-step, I tell you what, it's a step program. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you just do what's right. God directs your steps. And just every time you come to a situation, I remember going to Bible school, Doc used to say, every time you come to a crossroads, it's always a cross. There's always a cross. You got to make a decision. Am I going to do right or am I going to do wrong? Am I going to choose the Lord first and put him first, or am I going to choose me first? And when you get to the place and the crossroads in your life, and you always, every day, basically, every day you live, you're going to come to a crossroads. Every day is new. And every day you go through something, you come to this crossroads, and you got to make a decision. Am I going to do what's right? Am I going to do what I want? Am I going to do what God wants, or am I going to do what I want? So you get down and say, Lord, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what the, but most of the time it's not that hard. Most of the time we know what's right. We know which way we ought to go. Choose you this day whom you serve, Joshua said. And what you got to do is choose every day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve yourself or you're going to serve God. Am I going to do what's right, or am I going to lie, cheat, steal, do all the other stuff that goes along and try to get my way? And every time you try to get your way, you always make a mess out of everything. You always do. And every time I try to do my thing and try to do it my way, I made a mess out of it. And you will too. And then you'll be unhappy. So you're trying to find something to make you happy. And you'll try to find, you'll go to drugs. And you see people hanging out at these bars. Sometimes I've come through Smyrna and different places at night, and you see these bars are full of people searching. Yeah. They got families at home. They got children and all that stuff. And they're out looking for something else because they can't find nothing to make them happy. Right. I go home at night because I'm happy. Amen. I can be with my wife because I'm happy. Amen. Because God satisfies. Yeah. And he satisfies you. And if you can't figure that out as being a Christian, there's something wrong with you. If you can't figure out God satisfied as a child of God, then something wrong with you. Yeah. And you say, what's wrong? Well, you got to examine yourself. Amen. You got to get in that book and say, Lord, what's wrong with me? Amen. What's wrong with me? Amen. Why am I not happy? Why do I have no joy? Because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's inner. And what people are doing, they're going to the bars trying to find some inner peace. They think it's there. It ain't. It might be a temporary thing. You find somebody new, something exciting, something new. You know what? It always turns into crud. You know, this young lady told me, she said, I was in an abusive relationship for 6.5 years. She said, and I've just given up on men. Is it, if I came to your church, I'd have to bring my partner. And I said, do you know what's right? And she said, every night I ask God to forgive me. I said, then you know what's right. I said, ask God if he's pleased with that. So we talked and I prayed with her and invited her to church. And I said, you know, you need to get that thing right. I said, the problem is you're not willing to get it right. And I said, you know what? You're going to affect your children. But look here, 1 Timothy, we believe the Lord's coming back. Amen. And well, we teach that, and we believe, and we're dinosaurs, folks. Really, you don't find a lot of churches preaching on the Lord coming back and about judgment. You don't find that. Why? Because people don't want to hear it.
That's right.
They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They want to stick their head in the sand and say, "I just don't want to know. I just don't want to know. I just don't want to know." Now, I'll tell you what. I want to know if something's coming down the pike, a train's coming down the road. I want to know, man. I want to know so I can get out of the way. And most people will stand right there on the train tracks and get hit. Now, the Bible says, and this is a true saying, where 2 Timothy, where am I? 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. I'm sorry. It says, know this also that in the latter days perilous times should come, for men should be lovers of their own self. And this woman, I told this woman on the phone, I said, men are lovers of themselves. They love themselves. Men, all men do. All men love themselves. And that's what God, and women love themselves. And I said, God has to get that, our self-love towards him, get it where our love towards him is more important than our love for ourselves. In the last days, men should be lovers of their own self, covetous. We got more stuff thrown in your face. They covered after, new cars, new this, new that, new this. Every time you turn around and you go, man, I should have that. I'd like to have that. Man, that would be nice. Boasters, always boasting about everything. Proud. And that's all you said. That's always been there. Yeah, but it says it's more and more and more and more all the time. It says boasters, proud, blasphemers. I was a blasphemer, and probably a lot of you were blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. I was disobedient to my parents. You know, in the Old Testament, if a child was disobedient to their parents, they were supposed to be brought before council. And then the council would determine if the child wouldn't do what's right, then they'd stone the child. That's a horrible thing. But you said, but they didn't have rebellious kids. What we got is a bunch of rebellious kids. I'm not advocating stone kids, because if I would have been stoned first, I'd been the one got stoned. I mean, I'm not talking about getting out in the world getting stoned. I'm talking about the stone with rocks. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. And that's a biggie right there. The unthankfulness, I found that to be true in people's lives. When you're unthankful about what you have, what God's done for you, and all that, you find yourself always not unhappy when you're unthankful. The most unthankful people that are unhappy people. Unthankful, unhappiness, it equals the same. Unhappiness, unthankfulness. And when a person's unthankful, they're unhappy. And I tell you this, when I start feeling sorry for myself, I have to examine myself. I look at my, and you say, what do? I talk to myself. I say, shut up. You idiot. Just shut up. I'll be in the garage and thoughts will go through my mind. I'll say, shut up, you idiot. Linda's come out there a couple times and say, who are you talking to? I said, I'm talking to myself. She said, yeah. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. There it is. This lady, she's just, you know, woe is me, why me, and all that kind of stuff. And I found myself when I'm serving God, that I don't have time to think a whole lot about myself. I think about others. And when you think about others and you're dealing with other people's problems, it seems like you don't have time for your own. And God usually takes care of them things. And I've seen the Lord do it over and over and over again. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers those that are good. Just hate people because they're good. Good people. Just good people. It says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. You know, this America has more pleasures going on any given day, more things to occupy yourself, you know, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, any kind of sports, NASCAR, just any kind of sports, and they're all full. They're constantly searching for something to make them, you know, they got to be, if they're not happy, they got to hook up with a team. And if the team's winning, then I'm happy. And, you know, when the Philadelphia Eagles, I grew up in as a pastor here, and I remember I worked with a bunch of guys from Philly. And I know this, when I went to work on Monday morning, the Eagles lost, it was like, man, it was like a morgue. And them guys were having a funeral or something, and they were unhappy because their team lost. Because why? All their hope is in their team. And I'd be out there whistling. They said, shut up. What are you whistling about? I bet singing, shut up. I don't want to hear that. And just, I'm just happy I'm saved. I'd say, man, aren't you guys glad you're saved? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. Well, I believe in God. How many of y'all have ever heard that? I believe in God. Well, I go to church. I go to church. You know, I are you saved? Having a form of godliness but denying the power there. You know what is amazing to me? I like to watch them old cowboy movies and everything, but nobody mentions God until somebody dies. And they're at the funeral. We shall gather. They're always singing, singing a song where the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Always these at the funerals. Nothing mentioned about God throughout the whole thing. That's the way you say, well, that's just a movie. That's the way people are. That's exactly where they are. They don't talk about God until death. Until it comes to their funeral. I got to preach a funeral on January 5th. A guy, he was only in his 40s, died overdose, and he was in rehab, and his heart failed, and his wife called me, and I was talking to her, and I was talking to Rob from the funeral home, and then she said, he used to come to church there, and I couldn't remember. Didn't remember. And finally, she just sent me a picture this morning. I looked out and said, I've seen him. I remember seeing him. But he divorced his wife, went through all kinds of stuff, and then got married to another lady. And so trying to find happiness, man. Love, looking for love in all the wrong places. The world used to sing about that. You're looking for love. And like I said, I used to be down the street preaching down in Pensacola, and I'd say to the women as they're going into the bar, hey, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. You ain't going to find nobody in there love you like Jesus loves you. Amen. And that lady come back wanting to slap me in the face. And people are looking for love in all the wrong places, man. Do you tell your family you love them? You tell your husband you love them? Tell your children you love them? Tell your wife you love them? I tell my wife I love her, and even if she don't want to hear it, I tell her. Having a form of godliness but not denying the power thereof, but such turn away. Turn away from them. Don't hang around with them. You witness to them. You know what the problem is? Most people, they think they're going to win them to the Lord, and they hang around with them, and they think, oh, I'm going to witness them, but you ain't strong enough to stay around that crowd. Right, amen. You ain't strong enough to get there and be with them. Basically, that's what happened to Nathan. I'm hoping Nathan come to church today. He got around. As soon as he got a phone, I don't know what. It's the craziest thing for people that they spend. My phone, how many of y'all got the thing on your app on your phone that tells you at the end of the week how many hours you spent on your phone? How many of y'all got that? This morning, just in here, my phone said you spent 3 hours and 2 minutes on your phone this week. And I started thinking, how much time did I spend in my Bible? I hope I spent more time in my Bible than I spent on my phone. But everywhere you go, you see people looking at their phone, staring at it, going, staring, Facebook. It's like their connection to the world. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, for this sort are they which creep into houses. Bunch of creeps. They're a bunch of creeps. Creep into houses. Look what it says. Of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women. Women fall in love with what they hear. And men fall in love with what they see. And silly women are women that listen to everything anybody tells them. That's a silly woman. A woman that, the Bible talks about a woman that loves God, she's going to be praised. Over in Proverbs chapter 31, you read, oh, nobody can be a Proverbs 31 woman. Well, you might not meet all the qualifications, but you can meet some of them. Amen. You meet some. And you can meet some of those qualifications, and men should, you know, Bible says men should love their wives as themselves. Why? Because God knows men love themselves. So, of this sort of, they creep into houses, bunch of creeps, leading captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with diverse lust, ever learning. And here we got all this knowledge at our fingertips. And people are more stupid now than they ever have been. Really, think about it. More stupid about sin. Falling into sin. When you got 72,000 people in this country dying of overdose of drugs every year, and that bypasses alcohol, wrecks and drunkenness and all that stuff. That bypasses it. You got people, man, just constantly looking for some kind of pleasure and looking for something to satisfy them. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ satisfies. Amen. If you don't know that, then you need to find out. Now, I'm not against you getting on Facebook. I'm not against somebody putting, but always searching for something. Always looking. I just talked to another guy this week. His wife, he kicked his wife out because she was met a guy in California. He said she got tattoos all over his face, all over, and she's going to go out with him when he comes here. What an idiot. Amen. What an idiot. She met this guy. Well, he'd treat me better than so-and-so. You don't know that. He's probably a serial killer. I tried to talk to her on the phone. And she said, well, I'm just done. I'm done. Okay. Ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Isn't that something? People always looking for truth, but then when the truth hits them right in the face, I think it was Winston Churchill, somebody said, some people, when they'll trip over the truth and get up and act like they've nothing happened and keep on going. And the truth, man, the truth is that we're vile and we need God. Amen. Ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of the truth, as James and Jambres, which stood Moses, I don't even say them words right, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. For they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested on all men, as theirs was also. And thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution. If anybody was persecuted, it was the Apostle Paul. And he said, you know my manner of life, my long-suffering, charity, patience. That's one thing for the folks that we lack. And you know what? I preach that message on three chairs. It seems like the next generation, they what we do in moderation, they do in excess. Right. And they'll just go further and further and further. And if you don't have patience, and you're not teaching them patience, they lose their patience, and everybody's flipped out and going crazy and all that stuff. Faith, so long-suffering, charity. It's not just giving your goodwill. That's just not giving to the goodwill. It's charity. It's showing love and having a loving, giving attitude towards things and people. And charity, having charity towards people. Patience and persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them the Lord delivered me. Every time Paul said, God delivered me out of this mess. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to face persecution. You say, in America, we really haven't faced any persecution. Really, folks, you think about it. Only persecution you have is maybe your family talking bad about your Savior. And maybe that, you know, that they're not, nobody's going to kill you that we know of. Nobody's going to try to, harm you, punch you in the face and beat you up for telling them about Jesus Christ. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers, you know what seducers are? Seducer. Somebody's trying to, just like a guy trying to seduce a woman, he gets her drunk. He gets her drunk, and then they say if a woman will smoke, she'll drink. If she'll drink, she'll do anything. Right. Woman gets drunk, she'll be, that's why the guys go to the bar. Yeah. They find a woman, they'll do anything. Look in 1 Timothy. Look back at 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, now the Spirit speaketh especially that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed seducing spirits. There's spirits that come on you. You ever notice the music can change your whole attitude? The music you listen to can change you. So that's why it's good to have right music going in your ears. And I'm talking about, you say, because of, there's certain, I used to listen to Motown all the time. And Motown just made me want to dance, and then some songs made you want to, and I'll come across the radio sometimes, and the Motown, the old songs, and what I'll do, you say, what, I'll sit there and listen to it for a second, I'll go, man, I'm turning that. Because I know what it does. I know what it does. So I'll turn it. Old Motown, man, makes you want to dance, makes you want to find a woman, makes you want to find a drink, and find, you know, just messing around. It just does that to you. And same way with the rock songs, man. Some of the rock songs just makes you want to beat your head on the wall. And that's why they call them headbangers. And but you know, country music today is another one. Country music is like the old 60s rock and roll today. You got the guys coming out there, you know, with their tight jeans on and their shirts halfway unbuttoned down to show their little hair sticking out. And they got the cowboy hat, and they're twisting their hips like Elvis. And all the girls go, ah! Ah! The only reason they're doing that because he got money. He's like, ah, he got money. Yeah. And he's got this hair in there. Like, that always bothered me to see a man go. Oh, he's cute. He's cute. Looks like my sister. And I used to have long hair too, man. You know what, guys? You know why they had long hair? They said girls like it. They like to rub their hands through it. If it's greasy the way you run around, my Lord, they get stuck in there. Get their man, I'm on a kick this morning. And it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. He said, what are you doing? I'm trying to make you think. Man, don't listen to things whispering in your ear. Don't listen to seducing spirits trying to get you to go out and do something that's not against God. A seducing spirit will come along and start making everything look good to you. It'll start messing with your mind. And what your mind, like I said before, 10,000 thoughts go through your head every day. And you got this thoughts going through, and man, you got to control your mind. You got to get it under control, or you'll be out of control. And people go through mood swings. Why? Because they're thinking that everybody's against them. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. The devil's whispering in their ear. And they're thinking, well, I just ought to go ahead and kill myself. Nobody cares. At Christmas time is the biggest time. And I'm telling you, because Christmas times and New Year's and all that stuff, if people start thinking, well, woe is me. I ain't got nothing. Look what so-and-so has. Look what they got. And the devil starts messing with their head and starts telling them stuff. And then they say, well, I'm just going to jump off a bridge and just go do it. And you know what you're doing? You're just falling right into his hands. He seduced you. It says, take heed seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies, hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So that in the last days, that's going to happen. You go back to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And folks, you don't want to be in that crowd. You don't want to be in that crowd. See, men calculate stuff. Men will sit around in their mind and calculate stuff. They'll calculate how they can get away with it. Men sit there and think about it. How can I get away with it? Women, most of the time, just fall right into it. They always say, unless a woman's been a woman of the world, and she knows a little bit more about what's going on, then she's not going to fall right into it. But most of the time, women will fall into traps. They'll get seduced and get messed up. And men are good at doing that. Men and the devil is good at messing up women's lives. You know what? The reason I'm saying, I got granddaughters. I got daughters and I got granddaughters. And I didn't want no daughters when I got married because I knew how wicked men were. I know how wicked I am. And I said, God, please, I don't want no daughters. I don't want no daughters. No, give me all men. Give me all boys. And I got three daughters. You know what it did for me? It got me praying more. God, protect them. Put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. Now I got granddaughters. My little granddaughter, Juju, she just had a birthday. And we were riding Mondays, last night, we were riding the road. She said, you know, she's 9 years old now. Tori's going to turn 18. Madison's going to be 17. And Abigail's going to be 15. God have mercy. Lord, protect them. When I get on my knees every night, I pray for my family. Pray for the kids. Put a hedge of protection around their house. Pray for you. Pray for the church. Pray for people in the church. Brother, I'll tell you what, if there was a time we need to pray, is now, more than ever. But this is a time we don't pray as much. We got so busy, and we get so busy about things that we don't take the time to pray. And this time, the Bible says it's perilous times, and we need to pray. And I'm not trying to be, prophet of doom. I'm not saying that, but there's things that you need to keep your head up and looking towards God, that the Lord's going to take care of things. If you got kids, they're not listening to the Lord. They, you know what most teenagers do? They think, I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way. You're stupid. You don't understand. That's what most teenagers do. They think, I know what I'm doing. And then they end up pregnant or end up in a mess, in jail, on drugs. And then they get 20, 22, 24, 26 years old and go, my God, what did I do? And the devil says, why don't you just kill yourself? Nobody wants you. You done made a mess out of everybody's life, your life especially. The devil's slick. He seduces people. Guy came in here, the guy is not here today. He came in here Wednesday night, or was it Sunday, last Sunday night? I told the guy, he came up here and talked to me. What's that guy's name, Dave, that was here? Was it Woody?
Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, white guy. He came up to me and I said, I could smell he'd been drinking. And I said, Woody? I said, what do you mean pray about? He said, I need help. I said, we all do. He goes, well, I need help. I said, well, are you willing to change? That's why I ask people, you want help? Are you willing to change? I said, we'll help you if you're willing to change. He goes, I'm willing to change. I said, are you saved? He said, he gave me a clear-cut testimony. He's saved. And I said, well, how old are you? How old are you? He said, I'm 54. I said, it's about time to change, ain't it? You've been living this life for how long? It's time to change. It's amazing people end up 50, 60, 70 years old still in a mess. Life is ruined. Family don't want nothing to do with them. And they, you know, they think nobody cares. That's how the devil deceives people and ruins their life. Christians shouldn't be that way. This guy, was it Woody or Mike?
Woody.
Mike, all right? Mike should not, if he's saved, he should not be in that condition. Say, oh, wait a minute now. No, I'm telling you, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. He should not be in that condition. It's about choices. And you'll be in a mess because of your choices.
That's right.
If you don't pray and say, God, show me. I got down and said, God, I need help. I want to change. And you show me. And I meant it. Yeah. And most people, they go, oh, God, help me. I want $1 million. All right, forget it. I ain't messing with you.
Yeah, that's right.
They think that's how God does it. God does it step by step. Step of obedience, obedience, obedience. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what Samuel told Saul. You do it by obedience. You obey God, he blesses you. He takes care of you. You'll go through some times, troubles and trials. You'll go through those times. But you'll have to be obedient. And people tell them, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, man, shut up. You don't know what I'm going through. My Lord, man. It says, yea, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. People think they can bring deception in people, other people's lives. They end up getting deceived. They always say, you can't con a con man. But I've seen some con men conned. And I've seen a lot of con men con. I was a con man. I've seen a lot of men con. The devil is the best con there is. Yeah. He'll con you out of everything. You know, and then he'll get you to the end of your life and you'll think, my life's ruined, I might as well kill myself. That's how he ends it. Evil man seduces shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. I mean, you got this book, man. God said, this is what it is. This is the way it's going to be. If you'll just trust me, I'll take care of it. You can be assured of that. And what people do is say, I'm just not willing to sacrifice the time. I'm not willing to sacrifice my friends. I'm not willing to sacrifice them. And they just go on and make a mess. Dead end. But to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And this is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. It's not some scriptures that they didn't have, which are able to make thee wise on the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished on all good works. If you're looking for truth and you want God to guide your life and you're willing to wait on him and trust him, he'll do it. The simple as that. It's elementary, my dear Watson. It's so simple. If you'll just wait on God. If you do it your way, you know, old Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, all of them saying, and I did it my way, and they end up in hell. You do it your way, you'll make a mess. You do it God's way, it'll come out right. Guarantee it. I put money on it, and I'm not going to bet, but I said, God, if things will turn out right. If a person puts their trust in the Lord, the Bible says, all these things shall I give. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. If you'll seek God first and wait on him, he'll provide. He'll take care of it. What we believe this last days. I believe this is the last days. And I believe Christians ought to fortify themselves more than ever. Amen. We ought to be spending more time with the Lord. We ought to be closer to the Word of God. Here we are ending up the year, and you would never, some folks would never have thought they'd been to the place where they're at right now, where they started out back here on fire. Yeah. They were on fire for God. They were serving God. They were winning souls. I had a lady call me last night, and she's crying on the phone. And she said, preacher, I just led somebody to the Lord. I need to get back. You know what? When you go away from God, it's harder to get back. Why? The devil will see to it. It'll be hard on you. If you be determined, you'll be determined, you'll make it back. This lady said, well, I need to get back. And she said, I remember I was on fire for God, and I was serving the Lord, and I was happy, and I was joyful, and I was seeing God move, and now all my life is just crud. She went back to drugs and drinking and carrying on. Don't go back. We're living the last days. Amen. All right. Father, thank you again for your mercy and grace. I pray you bless the Father the message this morning in Sunday school. And Lord, I pray you bless the message coming up for your glory and honor. Save that soul in Jesus' name. Amen.